What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. And today we're going to talk about news, headlines, current events, and maybe even look at the scriptures a little bit. I mean, why not? We have them. And since they're like our standard for faith and practice, I think we ought to look at them every day. Anyway, looking at Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Yes, chapter 21, as everyone knows, comes after chapter 20, which is the millennium chapter of the Revelation. And I like that it says, in this new heaven and new earth, there was no more sea. What would we consider what the sea symbolically and apocalyptically represented? Yeah, it seems like a good idea. Who needs a sea anyway? And speaking of the oceans, and I don't know. Will there be oceans? Or is the sea here symbolic too? Perhaps it is. And I believe that it's more fitting that we would take it symbolic there. A lot of people argue about the new heaven and new earth, like with me, those, especially the amillennials. They don't believe that there will be a millennium intervening between now and the new heaven and new earth, or when Jesus returns. They don't believe that he's going to come back and rule for 1,000 years. But, you know, I kind of wonder, have they read the Bible? Is God really going to drop another opportunity for a 1,000-year drama? To the 1,000-year drama that will put a cap on this creation of his, of which he gets us out of. He draws for himself a people from the entire creation, from the very beginning, Adam and Eve, until the very end of the millennium. Yes, there will be people, mortals in the millennium, being born and dying, yes. And some of them will find faith in Christ. And apparently, as in all other eras, the majority will not. That's been the lesson of history. So I'd gladly debate any amillennial on the topic at any time. I'm equipped. I will read their book first, and they can read mine first and be totally prepared for me. But yeah, as long as they're holding on to that amillennial extra biblical doctrine, then they don't have a prayer. Okay, well, what do we got for today? That's how we start out. We have headlines, and let me check out the chat room. Good to see Fireman Mike in Darkeja. Apparently, he's from Denmark. That's what I'm getting from what he says. He can correct me if it's otherwise. He brought up the rude. What was his first name? I forget already. But I do remember Rude. Let's see. Oh yeah, Michael Rude. That's the guy. Michael Rude's big 2 meter or so paint up of the Book of Revelation. Well, that sounds interesting. But his calendar had the seventh millennium beginning at the year 2000. That's the only reason I said his calendar is wrong. Unless he changed it since then, since I last saw it. And I saw his calendar when I was researching my calendar. And if you want to see my calendar, it's, my posting is called What Year Is It? That's my calendar. Yeah. I'm not making a special calendar, to sell to people or anything like that. Maybe I should do stuff like that to help support First Amendment Radio, but I have so much to do already that with all of the projects that I have going on. Let's see, over there in the, we have SMT and, oh, Carrie, Nottingham. Good to see you, Carrie. Haven't seen you in a long time. I guess maybe because, I haven't been on YouTube in a long time because I kept saying things that YouTube didn't like and they kept striking me and taking down my videos. So I just gave up going on YouTube. But I thought, well, even though they're still censoring, I can stick to strictly prophecy on this day of the week because I can't live stream First Amendment Radio on YouTube because they started to strike me for that on my First Amendment Radio channel. So we're not doing that. Otherwise, they'll wipe out the channel, and it has all of those series on there. All of the Tom Fress series are up there. I even had to stop posting Tom Fress over there because they started striking me on those. But they have all of the series up there that, you know, they're getting a lot of views for those series that I posted up over the, 10 years that Tom Fress was with First Amendment Radio. A lot of things I haven't even got posted yet. I'll be posting for the first time Code Word Barbalon Book 2. But right now we're replaying Code Word Barbalon Book 1. And we're also uploading those to Odyssey, where we can put them in a permanent playlist form. So if anyone wonders if they remove everything from YouTube, which eventually they will do, that perhaps it will be on Odyssey, and we're also putting them on BitChute, but we don't have playlists on BitChute unless we want to pay money for them. But they don't have live streaming there, and they only allow you to put up 1 hour videos, no more than an hour at a time on BitChute unless you pay them. And I was paying them for a while when they first started up, but it was really awful. The videos kept breaking all the time, and you'd have to upload them 3 times before they take. So I just kind of gave up on them. But we're still doing, my daughter's still uploading there every day. But as far as supporting it, maybe they'll get it together. Maybe if they get a live stream over there one day, maybe we'll go back on, BitChute. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Well, there will be, as it is written, Google, YouTube sucks, and Facebook too. Yes, I would tend to agree with that. But I'll fish in their pond. That's what I call it. You know, we're, as Christians, I think we should fish in every pond. And if they don't like what we're saying, that we should just leave their pond alone. But doing the news, as I had been during the so-called pandemic. There were so many rules they made that I just could hardly open my mouth without, yeah. So, but I still have listeners over on BitChute. So I'm still there. Like I said, maybe it'll get better. Gab is totally gone. They have chosen the Antichrist over Protestantism. Yeah. So anyone that is blatantly Protestant, they don't like that over there. You will get shadow banned. And I was paying over there too to help them get started up, and thought, well, maybe free speech, but they don't really. Yeah, Gab is Roman Catholic. You got it. That's it. And so are a lot of the other startups. They're all sold out to especially the radical Catholics, the rebellious Catholics. They're rebellious, but they're not really, and they protest to a certain degree, but they still love the idolatry. So that's your rebellious Catholics. Those are the ones that are embraced by sites like Gab and others, the newer ones. So it's a lost cause as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Let's see. Anybody else? Well, I'll tell you, our friend from Denmark is dominating the chat room, you guys. I should just have him on and we could run the show together. Let's see. Three things papists hate is when you deny the poop, the satanic queen of heaven, and their cookie god. Oh, yes. They hate that. Yeah, they may protest the present pope, but as long as they embrace idolatry, they're no different, really. Your name and where you're calling from? And then there's the guy that always calls in. Sorry if your phone doesn't work, but I'm pretty sure my phone is working. Okay, yeah. We're working on this thing. I've got Skype on this computer, but I still have to figure out how to make it work with the show. So I'm learning. So I may be just taking Skype calls from now on. I can get a Skype number too. I could probably have this number from this phone moved over to Skype. And just pay Skype $100 a year instead of paying, what is this thing called? Magic Jack. Remember Magic Jack? Yeah, that's how old I am. I still have Magic Jack. That's what this phone is attached to, Magic Jack. Haven't heard of them in a long time, right? So, and also you can text us on our Mobi site. There's a text number. If you look for it, you'll find it. Okay. And I should have the other chat room, open too. And that is, I got 9 people. Whoops. Stop that. Got 9 people watching on there. Tom is live again. Mike, it stopped. Oh, okay. Yeah. That WW is over there in the, let's see. Pop out chat. We'll move that over here so we can keep an eye on that too. Good to see you over there, WW, in that other chat room. Well, I guess I better, start talking about news or something. But I would like to see some questions. If I missed one of your questions, you're so dominant in the chat room that it's hard to keep up over there, Darkeja, in the chat room. So if I miss one of your questions, put it at the top. And maybe like the Spanish do, start it with a question mark. So I'll know it's a question. That might help. Let me get this guy's face off of my screen. Ah, yes. The news. Headlines. What a drama. What a drama the world is today. It's so dramatic. It's overwhelming at times. You got those three frog-like spirits croaking louder than ever and more than ever, and the cacophony is so overwhelming that it's hard to focus on any one thing for a few minutes if you're paying any attention to what's going on in the world out there. But I think I saw something that a poll that said that McCarthy, the guy that's the lead guy over there in the Congress for the Republicans, the House Whip or whatever you call, I don't know what you call those guys. But anyway, he said the word impeachment. No, the poll said that he's the most popular, Republican congressman or something, whatever, how many years or something. Yeah, I go, yeah, right. I don't believe it for a minute. But anyway, let's look at some of these headlines. See, Skype might be better than a telephone call, but I need to sort out that as well, says Darkeja in the chat room. Well, if I get a Skype number, you just call the number like you would any other number. That's how the Skype number. But I don't have to. I have to pay for a number if I want a Skype number. But I can have a Skype. I have Skype on now here. And my Skype is Nicholas Arthur, just like my name. But, you know, without a space. And I think maybe if I put it on, I got to set it up first. And test it first before I try it. So, might be better not to do that now. So I'll close it. Anyway, I'm set up with my Nicholas Arthur account. I just have to make sure all the sounds go to the right places to do that. So next week I'm going to try to have Skype working so you can Skype me directly for free, or if I get a number, or if I can move this number to Skype, I'll likely do that. But Skype used to be great until Microsoft bought it. Now it's Microsoft, Windows owns it, Skype, but I've been using it since before Microsoft bought it. And I guess that makes me really old, right? Here's how old I am. I've been using the same audio broadcasting, radio station broadcasting software since 1999 when I first bought it for the previous network I was at. And I automated them at the end of the 90s. And I've been using the same software since then. And it only works on XP. So the computer that runs it is running it right now for this hour because I'm dropping it. I will be mothballing it here soon because I'm going directly and only to OBS for all my automation. I've just been working on it for several months to get it all, everything perfected before I drop and go with it alone. So that's what's going on behind the scenes. Usually you'd have to pay like a technician for a radio station. Yeah, Nicholas Arthur. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all that time. Yes. Yeah, it's funny, the Spanish, the Mexicans, they have an upside down question mark, I think, before or after the question. So one's inverted, it seems, if I remember correctly from Spanish in high school. That was a real long time ago. You could believe that. I took Spanish in high school. In Michigan, yes, when I was a teenager, yeah. But anyway, getting back to my software, I've been using it on an XP computer for all these years, and even though they stopped the company that makes it, it's called WaveStation, and I forget what they changed the name of the software to something else since then. But I haven't updated it. They stopped servicing it in 2013, but using hard drive cloning technology. All I had to do was keep a clone of the hard drive and I just swap it out if the hard drive failed. So I had it, I put it in there. It works great. So as long as I had working clones, I could keep it running. I'd probably use it for another 30 years if I could live that long. Yeah, likely could. Just having the equipment that still runs XP. That's the difficulty. And I've got 5 of those computers. And 3 of them work still. Eventually they would all stop working. Yeah. But it gives you kind of an idea of what goes on behind the scenes here. And what occupies some of my time, keeping the machine running. And like I said, radio stations I was at in the past have to pay like $30,000 for them to come in and put an automation computer in and switchers and all that stuff and totally automate you and then train you how to use their automation. Yeah. But now with open source like OBS, we don't need those people anymore. You just have to go through the pain of learning how to automate. Let's see. Questions. It all comes down to the fourth beast system, says Carrie. And you're right. Well, we're in it. And I having a hard time finding any other historicists that are willing to leave the 19th century and move forward. And, you know, the big question, getting on to prophecy here, the big question for me was, when reading the Revelation, going, where is World War I and World War II? I mean, these were big conflagrations. They engulfed the area of prophecy that the prophecy had been about, being Europe, okay, from the Mideast to the British Isles, or in Spain and Northern Africa. I mean, all of these were part of the Roman Empire that turned Catholic at the 4th and 5th century, and then apostatized, and then was punished several times. And we have all of that history in the prophecy that's already fulfilled in the Revelation. So where is World War I and World War II in the Revelation? And really, I hadn't figured it out until just this year. It dawned on me, you know, maybe because I'm thick-headed, or it didn't become so apparent till this year. Like figuring out, I was still figuring out the sixth vial, let alone the seventh vial. I mean, we've been asking, who are the kings of the East? That's E.B. Eliot, you know, 1860. About the publishing of his last volume, the fifth volume of his great work. He's saying, well, I don't know who the kings of the East are. That's for the future, and I'm not going to comment on that because, you know, historicism is about all about history that has been fulfilled. Okay, says, having a hard time finding you on Skype, but should be the only Darkeja on Skype. My account name is your account name is, okay, is, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, maybe I'll test it later with you, but it should have come up. Let me open it up here, because it doesn't say I missed anything, so apparently you didn't get through. Anyway, we're going into the break, and we're going to pick up here talking about World War I and World War II and where they fit in, moving on to the 20th and the 21st century. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And they're talking about the revelation. Yes. Go figure. And we were talking about earlier about the beyond the millennium. But had a question here from WW that I almost missed in the chat room. That's in the Rumble chat room. And he says, how do them mortals marry when there is no marrying in the millennium? Matthew 20:30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Well, yeah, there is that, and a lot of people have that question and they come to that conclusion, but the conclusion is wrong because it doesn't say, for in the millennium they neither marry nor are given in marriage. It says, for in the resurrection. Because the mortals are not resurrected. There are those that live through Christ's return that don't make the resurrection when Christ returns. But they live on the earth and they live through into. We have no other choice. There are going to be people that survive into the millennium of mortals that were not resurrected to meet Christ in the air when he returns. There's no other place to get the mortals in the millennium. Okay? And so they will marry, but the resurrected saints who join Christ in the air, they won't marry. Okay? And, you know, honestly, I have to say, I don't really have any desire to be married again. Even in this life, at this time of my life, you know, being in my 70th year, I mean, it could happen, but, you know, God is going to have to drop a woman in my lap, practically speaking, because I'm not going out looking for one, okay? I've been married 3 times, and my last wife died, and the first two ran off. So, you know, that's life in the 21st century, 20th and 21st century, because I am that old. I'm, yes, born in 1953. There you go. Do the math. Doesn't take much to do that math, does it? So anyway, I hope that satisfies you, but yeah, gotta pay attention to those words. Resurrection does not mean millennium for the resurrected. It does mean that they will live and rule and reign with Christ during that millennium, but they won't be mortals. Okay? Yeah, we're I never want to be immortal again. Once was enough, okay? Never want to be immortal again. So I will be immortal. I will have a resurrected body, kind of like the one Jesus has. No scripture says anyone will be on earth during the millennium. Well, Anvil Stryker says that. Well, I could say there are scriptures in the Old Testament of that era, I believe, and others that do say there will be mortals. Because what did Jesus says when he was talking about the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit? He said, all kinds of sin will be forgiven. And he said, in this world and in the world to come, or in this age and the age to come. And the age to come, of course, is the millennium. Okay? So how will people sin in the age to come if there are no mortals? Because it certainly is not going to be the resurrected saints who are going to be sinning. And that's the one sin that is not forgiven in either age, the age that we're in now, nor in the age to come. So how will the Old Testament prophecies that allude to that era, and I believe are specifically about that era, which the Jews were waiting for Jesus to set up immediately, and that's one reason why they doubted him. A lot of people, a lot of genuine believers, even at that time in the Hebrew nation, would have doubted him because he wasn't setting up the kingdom. That was an error in their thinking, and it was something that was hidden from the Jews. They thought the Messiah was going to come immediately and set up the millennial reign that they believed in and alluded to throughout the Old Testament prophets. So there are prophets of men. If someone died at 100, they were thought to be accursed. Of course, if you live to 100 in this age, but in that age to come, if you die at 100, you will have thought to be accursed, because obviously from what we gain from the scriptures is that in the millennial reign, during the millennial reign of Christ, in that era, that longevity will be regained. Some things that were lost will be regained during that era, so that the mortals will live longer under those conditions. Let's see. That's an SDA doctrine, I would say. What's an SDA doctrine? People are in heaven for those 1,000 years. Oh yeah, nobody's in heaven for the 1,000 years. That's amillennialism. They believe that you're in an intermediate state, floating and helping Jesus rule the earth during the age we're in. That's what the amillennials, they have the amillennial alternative state or something. Intermediate state, though, I believe that's what they call it, where you're floating in the clouds with Jesus, helping him rule. I don't know how you do that. You don't have a body. And like Jesus didn't need your help before you died, and certainly doesn't need it after you die, or he doesn't need it before you're born either. So I don't know how their millennium works out quite, because I can't find any of the details of how that's going to work. But I do find the details of the millennial reign of Christ in chapter 20, and then I harmonize that with everything that came before. And I believe that, you know, according to the doctrine of progressive revelation, meaning that the revelation that comes later helps us to understand that which came before. We don't understand that which came later by that which came earlier. We understand that which came earlier by that which comes later. But that which comes later doesn't negate or contradict any of the earlier prophecies. So we can harmonize it. Let's see, SDA. SDA are not Protestant. They're not historicists. They're neither one. I've got a whole article. Just go to my website. There's a search box up there. Just type in SDA. Hit enter and you'll find the article. SDAs are neither Protestant or historicist, because they are neither one. And I outlined it. I believe I outlined that clearly in that article, how they cannot be either one. So, but they do like to use historicism and Protestantism and wear it as a badge. Kind of like the Pope wears the badge of Christianity and authority over the scriptures and using all the nomenclature of the Bible as an authority, but it's a false badge. It's a false authority. And a lot of what they say is true, but, you know, they mix it with, you know, they have, it's like rat poison, you know, 99% true, or maybe 90% true in their case. It was that 10% that kills the rat. Well, it's 1% in the case of rat poison, but you get the idea. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Eat the meat, spit out the bones. Yeah, but pretty much, you don't need the SDA church. Just stay away from this stuff altogether. Don't promote them in any way, just like you wouldn't promote the Catholic Church, because, you know, they have a Bible. They encourage their people not to read it, and they've changed a few words in the Bible to make it more cohesive. But even their own Bible outs them, so Roman Catholics start reading the Catholic Bible, it's easy to see how much is wrong with the church that they're in, if they can open their eyes and have eyes to see. And that's all we can do is pray for them, and as God calls them to come out, they will come out. So, yes, indeed. Out of them mortals. So I hope that answers it for you, WW, that it's in the resurrection, they neither do marry or nor given in marriage, but they're not resurrected. They are mortals. We are resurrected. So in the resurrection, there will be no marriage for us. And like I said, that's kind of a relief for me anyway. I'm already enjoying my relief. But, I mean, not to put down marriage or anything. I mean, it would have been wonderful that if my last wife had lived, or if either of my first wives were faithful and loved God as much as I do. You know, I mean, they didn't have to be perfect, because God knows I'm not perfect yet. But I am being perfected, so God is working on it, and he will complete me when the day he returns, when I meet him in the air. Perfection. I will be perfected. But there's still, you could still learn after you're perfected, obviously, since we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. That's part of our, the process of being, yeah, because even Jesus was matured through suffering. So, anyway, maybe I should jump off unless we have some other questions. Okay, the SDA also proclaims and talks about the Jesuits, like in Denmark. None are talking about it. It is so dead in Denmark by pretty much everybody else, but there are some here and there, but seem very few. And that's, you know, that's pretty much like America, too, is getting to be. I mean, America is, you know, like Denmark is one state. America is 50 states. In the state where I'm at, pretty much woke, but it's a huge state, and the area is huge. It's one of the largest economies in the world, if not amongst the 50 states themselves. But the government is totally gone here where I'm at in California. Totally Democrat, totally woke. We have a Jesuit governor. Yeah. So, well, definitely go to his Wikipedia page. Yeah. You'll see it there, where he got his training, and it shows, as though, you know, you don't go, gee, I wonder. It's just all out in the open. Although most people don't know, because you'd have to go look. And then you have to make the connection between where he was educated and does that make him a Jesuit? Well, by his actions, his life, and his decisions, and the way he's running California, it's a definite yes. Definite yes. Okay, well, there is other news out there, so let's take a look at some unless someone else has questions. Zip Freer says, the Bible certainly teaches that there is a spirit world, and that there are angels and demons who travel to and from that dimension. Yes, definitely there is a spiritual thing going on out here. Let's see. So, there's no doubt about that. So I'm trying to get all these chat rooms where I can see them. Anyway, so I don't miss any questions. Good to see Robin in the chat room. Dale's over there in the YouTube chat room. Let's see. The Treaty of Lausanne, abolishment of the caliphate, ended 2 days ago. Sam Altman launched WorldCoin this week. Yes, I heard about WorldCoin. I'm not paying any attention to it yet. Because you have an individual, I don't know, is it going to be adopted by the Antichrist and become the mark of the deep beast monetary system? Well, we'll see. They're still working hard at it. The Lord, in the Psalm 2, we are told that God will have them in derision, though they counsel or conspire together. Yes, I believe in conspiracy theories. People are really conspiring to do evil. Or things that are against God. They don't consider it evil, perhaps, because they believe that reducing the population of the world and controlling everyone's mind individually would be a good thing for planet Earth and Mother Gaia, and perhaps even the Queen of Heaven. Probably the same deity. Probably the same demon, I should say. But yeah, definitely there are demons traveling. But there is an alien coming. Jesus is an alien from the world, because he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my subjects would fight. Okay? And he was speaking of fighting in the way that what's his name? Was it Pilate? Yeah, Pilate. We believe it was Pilate that he was standing before when he said that. In the way that Pilate was talking about fighting, he was talking about warfare. That type of warfare. And there's a clue for the amillennials out there. Who's going to put down the Gog-Magog rebellion at the end of the millennium? Yeah. Yeah. Because it will be his kingdom. But I guess he's going to let everyone see who will join Satan when he is loosed out of his prison. Because that's the test. Because that's what really the Gog-Magog episode at the end of the millennial reign is for. It's for those mortals that are on the earth. So that is their test. Their test the test is going to come to close out the millennium and close out this fallen creation once and for all. Then we get the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem on the new heaven and new earth, whatever all those symbols exactly mean or how to read them doesn't really matter, because I know it will all be good. I'm not worried about that at all. All my worrying is for this life. And that means that if I'm worried about something, that I should pray about it. Yeah, because the worry should drive us to our knees. We're not supposed to be doing that worrying thing. We're supposed to be wise. We're supposed to have a natural fear so that we mind what's going on and care for the people around us. So we should fear for their souls, that for all of the lost, for our family and our loved ones and our fellow man, that we want as many as possible to live forever in God's kingdom. We want to first see them make the first resurrection. There are people now on the earth, if you think about this, that will live through the return of Christ and live into the new millennium. And perhaps some of them will receive or come to the knowledge and the new birth in Christ after we are resurrected and with Christ. Even while we're on the earth, perhaps during the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know the dispensationalists, they all have the marriage supper of the Lamb going on in heaven for 7 years while hell is going on the earth, and God is dealing with the Jews during their fantasy 70th week, because the real 70th week was the Messiah's 70th week. The fantasy 70th week, they took it away from the Messiah and gave it to the Antichrist and are saving it for the future after their secret rapture, of course. What a bunch of silly nonsense, you know? How these people can go on believing this and read their Bibles at the same time and be so blinded is amazing to me. But really, when you think about it, it's not all that amazing, because all I have to do is remember back and how blind I was and how blind I've been most of my life. But it seems years and experience have opened my eyes and helped me to see a lot of things that I couldn't see or could barely see before. But perhaps that's the wisdom in God allowing us time and trials and tribulation and suffering and pain and joy, you know, and beauty and all of the things that come with this life, that God gives us all these things because of his wisdom, which is far above our wisdom. So, yeah, when you get older, this, you should be seeing more and more. So perhaps, you know, once they have that, because I look forward to them building the third temple, they call it, but it's really the Abraham Accord, and it's not really going to be a temple, but it'll work for them because they're delusional anyway. And I believe that a lot of people will come, well, once the rapture doesn't happen, some of them will hold out to the mid-trib position because, you know, they got the 7 years is going to start when they start building the temple over there on the Temple Mount. And so a lot of them will wait, go, oh, well, I guess it's not pre-trib, but it's going to be mid-trib because they have three choices. How convenient that, you know, the false prophecy has three choices to keep them hanging on to the very last minute. And then the third choice, of course, is the post-tribulation resurrection, rapture. Yeah. Because the rapture and resurrection aren't the same thing in my book. The rapture is the secret thing that happens, that the secret rapture of dispensationalism is not the resurrection. Because I believe the whole 7 years is going to go by. Nobody's going to be raptured. And I wrote about that in my book called The Abraham Accord. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get a free copy from my website. Go to the tab that says free ebook there. Yeah. And I'll send you a free PDF of it. Yeah. Okay. WW says, that's for the mortal resurrected in the second resurrection. In that time, Satan is loose for a short time. Well, yeah, I think that's what I just said. Okay, let's see what else he says. So when this corruptible shall put an incorruption, this mortal shall have put an immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Yes, for us that are resurrected, death will, we don't fear the second death. Because it even says, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection, for they fear not the second death. Okay, meaning the second death has yet to come. All right? But we don't have to fear that. So for us, for the resurrected saints, death will be swallowed up in victory. So there's no contradiction there at all. But for the mortals, they still have to go through perhaps death and the second death, which is the final one, at the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Just plainly read the chapter 20 without trying to interpret it. Read it by the plain reading. And I think it's easy to discern that which is symbolic and that which is literal. And I believe that most of the chapter 20 is literal, because I don't believe that there was any reason to couch it in vague symbols that are hard to understand for the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, no needy cutting up the 70 weeks. Yes, I agree with that. Let's see what else this other chat room says here. And okay, so nothing new over there. The Stand. I don't know what that's a reference to, but I think that was a movie or a book or something. All right, well, I guess we're coming to the end of the first hour, and I'm going to spend the second hour looking at headlines and commenting, doing a current events type commentary. So if you want to jump in on that, or you have anything to say about any of that, or anything else, it's just open for these 2 hours on Wednesday to talk about what everybody wants to talk about. And I want to thank everybody for showing up today. I really do appreciate it. It's nice to see, you know, some chats going on for a change. Starting to get very lonely over here. So thank you all for showing up during the break. You know, put the word out there, see if we can get some more people that are interested in prophecy and current events and a biblical, prophetical worldview on it from a sane mind, not an insane mind waiting for a rapture or making up an amillennial construct that can't be found in the Bible or other delusions which the world is full of. And I love challenges, so please bring on the challenges to anything I say. And I want to answer them from the scripture, definitely. Yeah. Darkie just says, yes, we are put in a corner. The truth is hated, but people being shaken are looking and trying to figure out what is going on. That's why I want, you know, they're going to get their Abraham Accord or their faux temple. Yeah, that's F-A-U-X. Temple, likely in the form of the Abraham Accord moving to the Temple Mount. So looking forward to that. Talk about drama. Boy, it's the drama just becomes more and more interesting all the time. What can we say? Anyway, here comes that break. I'll be back in a few minutes, like I said. Get another cup of coffee, but do come back. Invite a few people, but don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Welcome back. Yeah, looks like everything's working right. Anyway, you're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition, and I'm Nicholas. And I want to thank everyone for showing up today. It's good to have a little conversation going on in the chat rooms. Anyway, WW says, he says, moving on, I'll convert you some other day. It's likely going to be the other way around, WW. Yeah, but we'll see. You're going to have to convince me by the scripture, but I've already looked at all the scriptures and decided that they harmonize completely with what I have learned. So, yeah, and what Revelation 20 says, completely harmonized. So no problem there. Anvil Stryker, he says, which of the two resurrections do the millennium mortals take part in? And he's referring to John 5:28 and 29, something I address in my Millennium Question book. As a matter of fact, I love that, because if I pull that up here in my Bible, let's see, verse, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Okay? And yeah, the hour is coming. And when all in the graves will hear his voice. And then he goes on to explain, and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer question. Which one do you want to go to? the resurrection of life, or they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation? Well, I'm not for that one on damnation thing. That's not for me. But the amillennials like to run these together, because he says in the previous verse, he says the hour is coming, for the hour is coming. But it doesn't mean that what follows happens both in the same hour, okay? It means that, yeah, we all have our hour when it's coming. We have our hour of our birth. The hour is coming, or the hour has been. The hour is coming when everyone who is going to be born will be born, right? And the hour came when everyone who died, they died in the hour that was for them to die. And that's all the phrase there, the hour is coming, doesn't mean that they happen at the same time. Because if you'll notice, John here is the same author that wrote the Revelation. So if John was going to contradict himself, like I said, the Revelation comes later, but it doesn't contradict that which came earlier, because it's progressive revelation. God reveals more as time goes on. The Gospel of John came much earlier than the Revelation. The Gospel of John came when John was comparatively a young man. Okay? So we read in verse 29 about two resurrections. One is the resurrection of life for those who have done good, okay, trusted in Jesus or trusted in God, and even before Jesus, they trusted in his coming Messiah, Redeemer, okay, who was Jesus. And those of us that lived after or during his life, we trusted in him. And they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. First, so all those that reject God or that have committed the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit to the resurrection of damnation. So in Revelation chapter 20, John points out two different resurrections. The first resurrection, he even explicitly calls the first one he enumerates, he calls the first resurrection. And that means that the next one, even though he doesn't call it the second resurrection in the book, it is the second. Because the first one is enumerated as the first. And here they are listed. So we learn, perhaps not from John, that there is a millennial interval between these two resurrections that he outlines in verse 29 here. In Revelation chapter 20, he reveals to us that there is a 1,000-year interval, and he fills that interval up with what he writes in Revelation 20. Now, if John would be thinking, gosh, you know, if he meant before that these are both going to happen in the same hour, which is not really supported, it could be supported, perhaps, but it could be taken either way. Okay? As I said. So he clarifies it, and if he realized, well, I was wrong before, but I'm right now, well, then it wouldn't be the Word of God. But because it is the Word of God, and he gives us an interval in the revelation of 1,000 years between these two resurrections that he outlines even in verse 29 of chapter 5, then he would have had to explain to us how it's not a contradiction when it clearly would be if he meant otherwise, if he meant it was the same hour. Because he doesn't say, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and it will be the same hour, because he would have to say the same hour. Both of these will happen in the same hour, but he does not say it's the same hour. It's just the hour is coming. And which doesn't necessarily mean, and obviously it would be a contradiction of Revelation 20, which comes later. So Revelation 20 clarifies the meaning of John chapter 5, because it certainly doesn't contradict it, or otherwise one or the other would not be the Word of God. So I would have to say, because Revelation 20 is so clear, that Revelation 5 must be harmonized with it rather than be thought of to contradict it. So anyway, that's, and I do cover that in my book, The Millennium Question, too. So I've looked at it all. I've seen everything. And if you can harmonize that which came earlier with that which came later, you're on good ground. Yeah. And that eliminates any supposed contradiction, because in my mind there is no contradiction. And especially if you look at the Greek, you go back to the original language, you'll find that that it may even become clearer, because the word was given to us in the Greek. Yeah. So okay, that's, I guess, no more questions there. Let me check out all these chat rooms first, since I got three of them to look at. The United Pentecost told you that, okay, don't know what that means. Okay, they're talking about speaking in tongues to be saved. That's nonsense. it's not even clear what tongues are in the scripture. I have to admit, it's not clear. It's not clear to me. I know others think it's clear to them, but I believe it's not quite clear to me. And, I don't believe it may be that it's not clear on purpose. Okay. Yeah. Walter Barton sat under that man. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to get into that one. I'll let those guys battle it out over there in the chat room. I guess that's the YouTube chat room, if you want to battle out the speaking in tongues thing. I never could do it myself, honestly. I think a lot of people are faking it, so I can't tell the difference between people that are faking it and that are for real. So, or those that are, know they're faking it, and those that think they're doing it for real but are not. Yeah, there's a lot of wiggle room there, so I'm going to leave that one alone. Yeah, as far as I can tell, the tongues in the book of Acts at Pentecost, they were actually hearing in their own language. I don't believe that the speakers were speaking in another language, but I believe that people were hearing in another language, and that was a gift of tongues. So there may be two different gifts of tongues, but there seems that Paul intimates that, speaking of a heavenly language, but he said you should never do it in public or in the congregation. So, but I see these people, that's all they do is blabber, 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 blabber in the congregation, and nobody gives an interpretation. So Paul said, don't do that. So I wouldn't do that, even if I could. And I'm not sure I can. Yeah, so I'm going to leave that one alone. And we'll have it all sorted out, because we'll know all things one day. Okay, I'm going to leave. That's where I'll leave it. And I suggest that's where everybody leave it, okay? If you want to get dogmatic and say people have to speak in tongues to be saved, you're not a Reformed Protestant. You're not a Bible believer. You're believing in something that's a little extra biblical. Okay, you're adding a little something to it there. And thankfully, yeah, you don't have to, because a lot of people would be lost for eternity. Because a lot of people who never spoke in tongues, whatever that means, or even had any experience with hearing in another language or anything like that. So those people aren't all lost. God's going to go, no, you can't get in. No eternal life for you. You didn't speak in tongues. Yes, it's not on the checkoff list for your life accomplishments that you earn heaven by. Or that verify you belong to me, however you want to take it. Yeah, not going for it. Okay, maybe some headlines are due. Okay, let's see. The Democrats' dilemma, how to convince Joe Biden to drop out of the race. Well, we still got a while to go before that. I think he is going to be impeached, or he's going to resign during impeachment. Because I have to say, I'm glad that the Republicans aren't doing impeachments like the Democrats have done. Because all their impeachments, I mean, they just abused the process. That's all they did. They just abused the process. And I have to say, maybe there's something to the Republicans being cool, calm, and collected, saying, we're not going to stoop to what the Democrats have done. We're going to obey the law and do it by the book, and because we don't want to do an impeachment unless somebody's going to actually get impeached or resign or get this guy out of office. But I think that they're at that point where they're going to begin the impeachment proceedings, and Joe Biden will be gone, and Kamala Harris and all of her crimes maybe will be outed too. I don't know what's going to happen, but we do need that man out of there. But I'm not sure that's gonna abate World War III from happening and all of that nonsense that's going on out there in the world. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
No, from Ohio. I just want to make sure the phone still works.
Yeah, amazing, isn't that? It still works.
Are you going to Skype so we'll be able to call in anymore, or what's going on?
I'm
going
to see if I can move the same phone number to Skype.
Oh. You pick up through Skype, but we can still call in?
Well, yeah, you're able to port your phone numbers by law now. So I think I should be able to port my phone number to Skype. Yeah.
Okay.
So right. I'm that's what I'm going to try to. Yeah. Either that or I'll get a Skype number just for the show. And you can still call in. It might be a different number, though.
Okay. So. I just see it's sort of dropping down. I don't know how to go to these other chat rooms. Can I find it on your screen or what?
No. One's in YouTube and one's on Rumble.
Well, one's on Rumble. I'll have to figure out what's going on. But, all right. Just checking in. That's all.
Yeah, I still haven't figured out how to put all the chats together into one. So, but I can see them all. They all pop out, or the Rumble and the YouTube pop out. So, but the DLive and Odyssey don't pop out. So, but that would be five chat rooms I'd have to pop out instead of three. Okay. Anything else, Bill?
No, it's getting too complicated to follow much anymore. But, I did something with, I was looking, what they call it? Code Word Marble on?
Yeah.
And there's this guy named, let's see if I can put his name. I drew it on the card. I had to follow. I'll let you know I don't have it. Oh, no, here it is. Hold on. Exploding the Israel Deception by Steve Wolfer.
Yeah, he's an SDA guy. Steve Wahlberg is. So I don't promote SDA guys.
Oh, how do you know he's an SDA guy?
Oh, well, because he is.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any other way to go with, there's a book that he's not an SDA guy on the 70th day of Daniel that's being fulfilled?
Oh, being fulfilled? Well, yeah, every Protestant historicist up through the 19th century and beyond all believe that Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled in the first century, that the 70th week belonged to the Messiah. Matthew Henry, E.B. Eliot, you know, and just about every historicist expositor. It wasn't a big deal then because they didn't have the rapture and the 70th week of dispensationalism hadn't been invented yet. That's a rather new invention. The idea was proposed before, like throughout apocalyptic history, because you can read about it in the history of apocalyptic interpretation by E.B. Eliot. But so the proposal was there early on, but nobody really believed it or built upon that foundation until dispensationalism came along. So, yeah. And besides, it's plain in the text. You know, the futurists like to say they're the literalists, but they're not. If they were literalists, they would believe that the 70 weeks were literal and contiguous because that's what it says. So they're literalists unless the literalism interferes with their thesis, and then they're not literal anymore. So,
yeah.
Anything else, Bill?
Yeah, I go to a church where they speak in tongues, but there's no interpreter.
Ah.
And they believe in the preacher of rapture, and I'm not feeling very comfortable with continuing with them, but if I need a place, seems like all the places speak in tongues and believe in preacher of rapture. So.
Well, if you have relationships and friendships there, and I'd say just, you know, keep going there. As long as they're preaching the gospel and they haven't walked away from the gospel, there's a lot of people. I mean, it's like John MacArthur, you know, very good reformed gospel preaching and teaching, very theologically correct. But then when it comes to eschatology, well, there, you know, he embraces a pre-tribulation rapture. It's just weird. So, yeah. But yeah, stay there, enjoy the relationships, and be a light, you know, propose the idea. Because believe me, when they start building the Abraham Accord over there, and they're not raptured out, because that's what they expect, then they'll be talking to you. Yeah.
I hope. You know,
then they'll be going, hey, you know what? Maybe that what you were trying to tell us is right. You know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to abandon lifelong relationships and friendships over eschatology, man. I would advise against that. God may have you where he wants you, man. And usually he does.
All right. Thanks for the reassurance. Appreciate it.
All right, Bill. Have a good day, man. Thanks. Okay, well, there it is. The best advice I can give. Okay, welcome to the persecution, RFK Jr. RFK Jr. learns that anyone who in any way poses a real or supposed threat to the Democrats and establishment grip on power is in the crosshairs. And you know what I think? You know, I think as RFK, he said, because he was asked if he would run with Donald Trump, and he said, no way. Well, of course, he has to say no way. But after all, he is a Democrat, and he wants to get the nomination from his party. But I'm pretty sure that there, it seems unlikely, but I could be wrong, that RFK is going to get the, no matter what happens. Maybe why they're holding on to Joe so tightly, because they don't want RFK Jr. in there. The Democrats, you know, the Marxist Democrats that are in power, yeah, the Marxist Antichrist Democrats. We'll just keep adding a little more to the label so you know exactly because they aren't JFK Democrats. I'll tell you that. Like RFK is a JFK Democrat. My only problem with RFK is he still seems to be bought into the whole climate MacGuffin. So hopefully he can come out on that, but I'd still rather have him than a lot of other people out there. Let me tell you that much. Yeah, it would be a different world if RFK was president instead of Joe Biden. So if we can't have Trump and we can't have Ron DeSantis, and there's really and no one else that has a prayer to make it as the president of the United States that I would want, I would rather have RFK than Joe Biden or Kamala, or the Kamala Harris, that wicked, wicked woman who California was glad to lose. Or at least all of us sane people in California were glad to see her go away. We're not happy to see her move into the White House. But of course, she's been nothing but a joke since she's been in there. Yeah. So, anyway, let's go on to another headline and see how investigative journalists have become cover-up promoters. Yeah. It's just amazing that nothing about what the building and impending impeachment, because the impeachment has to happen. This is what impeachment was for, what is going on right now. And since we have people from both sides of the aisle now as willing witnesses to this man's and his son's, his family corruption, I believe that the impeachment is going to go ahead and Joe Biden will likely resign. Probably give up, probably use family or mental capacity or play one of those cards to resign as president and just hope everything will blow away after that. Okay, but yeah, impeachment is the place it needs to begin. And the ongoing investigations under a new administration, depending on who, I don't hold out much hope for anything in this world, in our temporal realm here. I can't hold out hope for anything. Those three frog spirits are croaking louder and louder. And I think if we can hang on to any liberty and resist until Christ returns, I think that that's perhaps the best that we can hope for. Yeah. And I believe that the prophecy for America backs up my position on that. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Okay, well, that thought was complete. So, anyway. So, investigative journalists have become cover-up promoters. They're covering up the best they can, but even now they're starting to crack a little bit on the Biden family corruption. So, all right. Did the Soviet Union really collapse? Well, yes and no. Yeah, there you go. Yes and no. I don't know. I don't know. I think perhaps, hopefully, the Soviet Union is rebellious against the Antichrist. They are in rebellion against the Antichrist. What are they doing in Ukraine? You know, I think they're doing in Ukraine what America has done in a lot of other nations, perhaps beginning as a peacekeeping effort or an effort to save an underdog, especially if that underdog was their cousins and brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts living in a neighboring nation. Anyway, we'll pick this up when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there, or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Thank you all for showing up today. I really do appreciate it. We are talking about, did the Soviet Union really collapse? That's the headline. And, of course, I think you have to start with the fact that in 2014, during the second Obama administration, or, yeah, we're in the third now, I think. Fourth. Anyway, 2014, there was a coup in Ukraine. The democratically elected government was thrown out of office. The coup was run by the Antichrist and his compatriots over here in the D.C. swamp, okay, out of the Vatican, using the CIA and other agents that work for the Antichrist. They had a coup over there where they threw out the lawfully and rightfully democratically elected government, and they put in this puppet government because of the corruption that they wanted to run in the country. And the problem is the new government started persecuting Russian-speaking citizens of that area called Ukraine today. Well, the Russian people weren't very happy about it. That's their cousins and their aunts and their grandparents on the other side of the border over there being mistreated and being warred upon. Yeah. So Russia did what perhaps America would be right to do if, say, Mexico started persecuting and murdering and warring on Americans that have made their homes in Mexico. Yeah. We might intervene for our, you know, our relatives, our American English speaking people over there being persecuted on the other side of the border. That's the closest parallel I could draw, something like that. And that's pretty much what was going on. And that I don't believe Russia wanted to be over there, but they felt they had a reason to be over there. And I think perhaps their reason was a good one. I mean, after all, they did let go of that territory. They let go of a lot of territory years before. Why would they want the pain? And they had an agreement with NATO that NATO would not move into those countries. That was a buffer between, because NATO was, one purpose of NATO was to stand up against the Soviet Union or Russia, what's left of the Soviet Union. And NATO agreed never to move into those countries, but they've been moving in closer and closer anyway. It's like, you know, the Antichrist is not going to keep his agreements. He's been a liar from the beginning. A corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. And of course, the Antichrist being influential in NATO, the UN, in Washington, D.C., belonging to him, one of his city states, that's what we expect to happen. Not him not to keep his word. And even the American government before that, they didn't keep their word. And there are any of the treaties they made with the Indians that were in this land before. Yeah, it's just a true fact of history. You know, should the Indians be compensated? Should they? Well, yeah, they should likely get their land back or land like it or be compensated for the land that they were ripped off for. Because there were treaties, there were agreements that were, you know, that were made between them and the government. But the same agreements that were made between NATO and Russia about those lands that they were, those nations, starting with Eastern Germany, all the way up to the now border of Russia, the Soviet Union controlled all of that, but they let it all go. They let them all become, you know, their own nations if they wanted to, and they did, and it happened. But there were a lot of Russian-speaking people, so if they start persecuting and murdering and causing mayhem against the Russian people in their nations, well, you'd think that it might be the right thing to step in. So that's kind of, you know, the background for what's going on over there in the Ukraine now and why they want to take that territory that is mostly Russian-speaking today and which most of the Russians have evacuated to. And it's not because Ukraine is a democracy that we have to defend, a bastion of liberty and freedom, because it's none of those things. It's one of the most corrupt nations on earth, and that's enough that I'm going to say about that. But going back to the Soviet Union is now becoming very angry, as you can imagine, because they're being treated like the American Indians. The treaties are being broken, yeah, but not the same, really. But yeah, they're just they've been lied to, and they're being cheated on, and so they're getting angry. And if you look at your map of where Russia and China are, they are due east of the territory in question that is represented by the beast with the 10 horns in the book of Revelation, according to the historicist interpretation of the scripture. Okay, so they are the kings of the east. I believe we have it now. Now we're going back to the sixth vial. We're already in the seventh vial era, but we're just discovering what were the kings of the East. Who were they? And what was the way being made for them for? And it may be to punish that backsliding or never repenting, because they repented not, and they continued even with World War I and II, with the vial of judgment poured out in World War I and World War II. They have yet not repented, but they have withdrawn further from the God of creation. And they've walked further away from him. They thumbed their noses and their faces and whatever, just at him. And there are very few believers, true believers left. We have one in our chat room from that era over there. So due east, you have the kings of the east. And I don't know whether it will be Russia alone or China and Russia. But I believe if it will happen that Russia and China being allied, being driven to an alliance, because actually I thought when Trump was president, I thought there was a good chance the Russia wanting to join NATO. They should have jumped on it. They should have jumped on Russia joining NATO, because the greater threat was rising up, even in the more far east, that is China. And China and Russia allied together against, because the scripture, it is in the plural, the kings of the east. So who are these kings? What nations do they represent? Well, there are two big elephants in the room, so to speak, that you cannot ignore. So I think we have identified who the kings of the east are. The kings of the east are likely Russia and China together. And I think, you need to do a lot of praying and seeking God if you're in the European theater. And that would be anywhere from the Mideast to Northern Africa to the British Isles. Because, boy, they're really PO'd at the British Isles. Yeah. Let's see. Trinity doctrine was not firmly established. I don't like to argue Trinity, because you can't find Trinity in the Bible anywhere. I do believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I do believe, as the scripture says, that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, whatever that means. I do believe you should be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I know that God deals with man through all three of those manifestations of his, of who he is. But for me to build a doctrine and say, you know, I could define God. Oh no, I don't even want to go there. Puny little me, you know, someday when I see him, I will be like him and I will know all things, whatever that means. But before that, I'm not even going to pretend to say that I could build a doctrine on the essence of what God is in his fullness. I'm not even going to go there. And if anyone says, well, you don't believe in the doctrine that I believe in, and because I know it's right, and if you don't agree with it, then you're no Christian. I'm going, whoa, good. You must know everything God knows, because you're asking me to agree with something that you came up with. Now, you point to a scripture in the Bible and say, do you believe that? I'll say, I believe that. And that's as far as I'm going on that whole argument. Yeah, it's as far as I'm going. I don't have any problem with people using the doctrine or calling the manifestation, the threefold manifestation of God to man, a trinity. That doesn't bother me at all. But when they write down a doctrinal statement and say, I have to agree that this is what God is, I'm not sure I can do that, because I'm not that smart, okay? Maybe you're much smarter than I am, but I don't even think I'm that intelligent. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, and that's my final word on that. At least in this life, on this side of the grave, or this mortal plane. That's as far as I'm going with that one. Okay, yeah, I've got enough enough to deal with prophecy, interpretation, and just being theologically correct in accordance with the Bible. Okay, so we're talking about the kings of the East and what that means. It means that if the ways of the kings of the East is a correlation to the powers of the Euphrates and how they were a woe to Christianity and how that one woe is taken out of the way, because it seems to be, except for maybe immigration, but that's not really the same thing. You're going to think the immigration is a mild woe compared to the woes that were unleashed on Christianity in the past, those judgments, and the one that perhaps is coming in the future, because it seems this Kings of the East thing is written about, and if they are going to be loose, that way is made for them by taking one woe out of the way. That pretty much intimates that another woe is going to come on the same locality as the previous woe that was taken out of the way, and that woe coming from the kings of the East. Our friend Darkeja over there, my suggestion to you, if you want to get out, is come across the southern border to America and look me up, man. Come on over to my house and visit me. Yeah, look me up. Give me a call when you get here. You got to come across the southern border because they only allow illegals in. And just act like the rest of the illegals that are coming across, and you know, and tell them you love Joe Biden or whatever. You know, be wise as a serpent when you're coming across the border. Yeah, I'm making fun, but I'm serious at the same time. You know, yeah. He says, I'm not a papist, so that might be a problem. Well, that's where the being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove comes in, if you get my meaning. Yeah, because believe me, all those people coming across the border, probably a lot of them are looking for a better life and really want what America has to offer. But what they're getting is socialism and Marxism instead, and they're going to be groomed for the Pope himself. Yeah, but that would be my advice if you want to escape, come to America. But I'm not sure it's going to be safe here. We're having quite the turmoil over here as far as what the prophecy says about the seventh beast or the second beast of Revelation 13. Must be the same one because it's the only additional beast that is introduced. You can't say we have a seventh beast and never introduce it. So since it's the only one that's introduced in the Revelation, it has to be the same beast, the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, the two-horned earth beast and the ten-horned sea beast are working together, have been working together. They did work together after World War II to build the image of the beast, which I believe is the UN. Okay? So America, if it being the two-horned earth beast, has already accomplished everything that the two-horned earth beast was prophesied to accomplish in chapter 13 of the Revelation. So after it accomplishes those feats, you know, and perhaps it's still helping, you know, because Joe Biden is doing everything he can to help the whore that rides the beast destroy all of the Protestant liberties that have been active in America for, the last 200 and whatever years. So that's still going on. And Washington, D.C. still belongs to the Antichrist. But what's going to happen to the 50 states over here, the 50 nation states over here? Well, it's all open. Yeah, I guess it depends on the people in those states, what's going to happen. There's no pronounced destruction or invasion, but any of those things could happen. We just don't know. But the fact that it's open and it's not been determined for us to know by Scripture, the fate of the second beast after it does those things that the scripture says it was do, and which I say it already has done. And that's why I'm praying that there could be a reprieve. We could, America could turn back, and the battle, this dichotomy that we have over here between the lamb-like and the dragon speaking, that struggle, that those two horns that are sticking up there together, seem, it never says one goes higher than the other or overcomes the other. It just says that they are there and they're equal throughout the life of that beast. So it may be that things just continue pretty much as they are. The struggle, although it seems to be becoming more intense as time goes on, but it was always there. The dragon speaking and the lamb-like horns were always there and were always equal. There was always an equilibrium. It's just that it's becoming more pronounced, more dramatic, and more intense. But that's why we, as God's people, must intensify our efforts at the same time the three frog-like spirits are intensifying their effort until the day of great, the great day of God Almighty, when He returns and we join Him. Then, then we can relax. But until then, we gotta have our game on, people. That's all I'm saying. We have to resist every day with all of our might. Yeah. It's none of us, Darkeja. We all hate it. But, you know, it's just like those that hid the Jews during World War II. They had to lie. And there are many times when it was the right thing to do was to lie, even through the scriptures. But to make it a practice, those that practice lying like liars, if the scripture says liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, that is those that practice lies. Because we all have lied, but we all repent. At least God's people repent of their lies and their wickedness. They come to that repentance and they are being renewed and being perfected until He comes and takes us and to where He is. So whenever that happens, either at the grave or at His return, it matters not. Let's see what else we got here in the chat room. Let's see, nothing new here. Let's see if you've got anything in YouTube. He said it's not a scripture to add. You cannot define the nature of God. Well said. Thank you for that. I figured I couldn't go wrong with that. As he said, it's not the scripture to add to it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is equal to the Father? Well, you're still asking me to define the nature of God. I don't believe that the question is, I don't believe the question is proper or has anything to do with God. 'Cause equality in the Godhead? No, I don't think, I don't know. That's more that's beyond me. I would just have to say, from everything I've read in the scripture, there's no talk about, I guess there is a hint. I have to look into it. So something that Jesus said, there may be a hint that, yeah, if He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, I believe that. And I guess that's all I'm going to say is that, yeah, I believe that. Robin has 1 John 5:7, huh? Okay, well, I guess I'll look it up. Okay, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Okay, I believe that. See, there I get out. I believe that. But I'm sure there are people that want to nail me down on some doctrine that someone wrote down somewhere. But like I said, show me the scripture and I'll say, yeah, I believe that. I do. I believe that. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit, and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. So I'm not sure I really understand fully what that means, but someday I will. Yeah. But I know it doesn't confuse me. That must be the spirit in me that's not confused. Because if the spirit in me is not confused, then I'm okay with it. You know? What can I say? It's just like the spirit in me bears witness when I see the truth, because I have the spirit of truth that God has given us, Jesus spoke of, that would come to be in us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else here? They and us and we and them. And yes, praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's just turn it into a song of praise here. Your name and where are you calling from?
From Ohio. Try John 5:18.
Oh, John 5:18, huh? Okay, we'll look that one up. Anything else?
I think that's it. After he did the miracle of Bethesda,
yeah, you're not coming in too well. Okay, I'll read that one, and then I'm gonna have to sign off. Thanks. Okay, John 5:18. I think that's what he said. Before the Jews sought to kill him. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of. That's the one that was crossing my mind. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Yeah. But it doesn't say that Jesus was equal with God, but it says that they believed he was going to kill him because he was making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And that's all we have time for today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see y'all next time.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.